I have my.
Okay. Committee on Human Services will come to order.
Yeah.
Today is Monday, April the 9th. We are 2007. We're doing things a little different today. What we're going to have the opportunity to do is to go through with Mr. Britton and Ms. Baker our budget, and to be able to interact with the committee in such a way that there's clearer understanding about where we've been, where the governor was or is, and where we are today. So I appreciate very much your patience along those lines. And today, in asking our two analysts to come forward, we've asked them to sit down in front so that it seems a little more formal for us and you can afford to ask your questions at that point. With that in mind, I'd like to give Mr. Britton the time to explain, the calendar of today and the week. Mr. Britton?
Thank you, Chair Carter. Members, I'd like to refer to this agenda for the week and the draft agenda for next week. As you can see, today we're having an informational meeting on the Human Services Program Area budget. We'll get to that in a moment. But beginning with tomorrow, we're going to be working on House Bill 5038, or having a public hearing on House Bill 5038, the Office of Private Health Partnerships. This is the program that contains, or the agency that contains, the Family Health Insurance Assistance Program, and also contains in the governor's budget a substantial piece of the Healthy Kids Program. Wednesday, public testimony on House Bill 5038, and on Thursday, conclude with a public hearing on House Bill 5038, Office of Private Health Partnerships. Next week, if you flip over to the second sheet, we have on Monday a bill to be determined. We'll be working on the Department of Human Services 2005-07 budget rebalance, and that will be contained in a budget bill. On Monday, we are planning on hearing from the agency to answer questions and to make a presentation on the department's rebalance and their request for funds in that rebalance. Tuesday, we'll have a work session on that particular bill that Sheila and I will lead. The department will be here to answer any questions that you might have or to follow up on things that we were not able to get to on Monday. And on Wednesday and Thursday, you see on Wednesday we have a public hearing scheduled for Senate Bill 5525, which is the long-term care ombudsman, and public testimony scheduled for that day as well. And then on Thursday, Senate Bill 5525, a work session on that particular piece of legislation. So that's what we are looking at in the way of the next 2 weeks for this subcommittee.
So, Ms. Speaker, before we get to your presentation, is there something you'd like to say or anything? Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair and members, I'd like to go on then to begin today's presentation. We have divided your packet up into three parts. The first is a spreadsheet on the State Commission on Children and Families. That is a budget that you have not heard about yet. It's scheduled for, I think, later in April or maybe May. And then the stapled sheets that are long, they look like this. All of this is the Department of Human Services. We'll go through the four main budget areas within the Department of Human Services. And finally, the Office of Private Health Partnerships, which is, as you know, you'll be hearing about more later this week. A couple of disclaimers. It's always a great way to start a presentation. The first is that Sheila and I cannot always explain the rationale behind the co-chair's decisions. So in some instances we can. I wish I could say that all the decisions that the co-chairs made that you agree with and like are because Sheila and I told them the right way to go, and the ones that you don't like are their own fault, but that isn't always the case. But it is to say that it is important for you to speak directly to them in many circumstances. We can explain some of their thinking, but we can't explain all of their thinking. The second disclaimer, and this is in deference to Representative Kotek's questions, this is fairly high level. This is not a particularly detailed summary or a detailed explanation of each program area. I would offer that we have all kinds of different formats that get into further detail, but we have, at this point, about an hour and 20 minutes to go through all of this. But we do have other kinds of displays that the department has prepared. One, for example, lines up the 2005 legislatively adopted budget by different program components. The one I'm holding happens to be addictions and mental health services. So it has funding for outpatient child treatment, outpatient adult treatment, and it has the adopted budget for 2005-07, the legislatively approved budget for 2005-07, and then the governor's recommended budget for 2007-09. So you can kind of compare that. That's a display that is available. Another one, this one happens to be the Division of Medical Assistance Programs, shows the budget, the governor's budget for the Oregon Health Plan. And it has a number of different kinds of categories for managed care, fee-for-service, and the like. This one, which I really want to delve into, is about, 30 pages or so of the seniors' budget. And it has a display that's very similar to the one that you saw last Thursday, and again, like the one you're going to see this afternoon, but it goes into a variety of different kinds of programs. So there is detail, but it will take quite a bit of work to get into all of that. So today it's going to be fairly high level.
Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Are you saying that you can give us those copies of that material, right?
Madam Chair and Senator Morissette, we can have the department give you the copies, or we can try and get them from the department as well. If you'd like to look at any of this stuff one-on-one, we can do that as well.
Okay. I would like copies.
This whole audience is DHS, and I'm sure they hear that.
One final note, and I'll be repeating myself a little bit here. Again, we're only doing three agencies.
I hope one person out of DHS gets a message. Okay.
We're going to be going through three agency budgets out of the Human Services Program area. We're not going to be doing the Psychiatric Security Review Board or the Long-Term Care Ombudsman, the Board of Nursing, the Board of Medical Examiners. We are hitting on the three larger budgets in that particular program area. With that, I turn it over to you.
Excuse me for a minute. Just a process question. For the analysts, is it better for you if we have questions if we hold it to the end of the agency presentation or the subcategory presentation, or should we interrupt you as we have the questions?
I would defer to you, Madam Chair. It doesn't matter to me.
I'm just trying to see how far we have to go. Well, the whole benefit of this is to give members familiarity. And if we go over the time, you and Sheila will just have to just find us some more time. How about that?
Okay. So just have that. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Ms. Baker, Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'll start with the State Commission on Children and Families budget. As John indicated, this is one that you haven't seen the detail of yet or haven't heard much about the commission's budget. At this point, there was an overview very early in the session for the agency, but I don't want to spend a lot of time going through the individual elements of the policy packages. I'll tell you what they are, basically, and so you get a feel for what's in the governor's budget, and then I'll talk about the co-chair's adjustments. The format of these spreadsheets, the first line shows the legislatively approved budget as of the last emergency board actions. So that is not what came out of the last session. It's as it's been adjusted, including salary, compensation distributions, and that kind of thing. So you can see the legislatively approved budget. They are general, other, federal funds, total funds, positions, and FTE. For the most part, I'm going to be focusing on the general fund, particularly for this agency. As we get into DHS, there's some areas, of course, where other funds, tobacco tax, and that kind of thing becomes important to talk about. But I'll focus on general fund for the most part here. The essential budget level, as you know, includes basically their base budget from 2005-07 rolled up. So with if their salary roll up, merit increases, phase in, phase out, inflation adjustments, that kind of thing is included there. So you'll see there is a little bit of difference between the legislatively approved and the essential budget level for those reasons, but not major shifts. Then the governor's budget builds policy packages, and I've listed them there. Package 401, it's titled System Development and Local Plan Implementation, and what that includes is those elements in the governor's budget that are enhancements for local commission operations, local programs that are part of the overall commission system. So local basic capacity is basically grants to counties for operations. That's a $3 million increase above their 05-07 level. Juvenile crime prevention, the governor's budget would add $2 million general fund, and then there's some additional federal funds available as well that's included in there. The governor's budget also added state staff and for technical assistance. Fund shifted an existing resource developer position that does fundraising for primarily the local communities, the local commissions. And then there was some funding for improvements in the statewide data system that the commission operates. This is their outcome tracking and reporting for at the local level that's rolled up at a state level. Package 402, titled Investments in Current Programs, are enhancements to the Healthy Start, the Voluntary Home Visitation Program, Relief Nurseries, and Court-Appointed Special Advocates Program. So the governor allocated a total of $9.5 million general fund in those areas. Package 403 is called Investments in New Initiatives. For the most part...
Mr. Can you hold just 1 minute? Do you have more questions on 401 or 402?
Madam Chair.
Senator Marcet?
Where does the safety net fall? In either one of these, or is it somewhere else? What services are you telling the safety net?
Madam Chair, Senator Marcet, the actual safety net program used to be funded primarily out of the Department of Human Services. I believe that some of the commissions spend their local money to support safety nets in their communities, but there's not a separate line item in the State Commission on Children and Families budget for safety net.
But some of them use their money to fund the safety net. But it's not a line item.
Senator Moore said, I believe that is the case, that some of the flexible funding that goes to the local communities, they may allocate that. And we can have more discussion on that when we talk about the commission's budget next month.
Madam Chair.
Thank you. Just a clarification about the approach that you're using to walk us through. Are you going to go through the governor's choices and then go back and do the co-chair choices on each of these? Is that?
Yes, Madam Chair. Senator Gordley, we wanted to sort of build so you understood what was in the governor's budget in terms of enhancements or reductions, and then we'll get to the co-chair's budget adjustments to the governor's budget.
Thank you.
Just while we're taking the time away, we want to welcome Representative Boone back. It's good to see her and looking a lot chipper and everything else. So welcome back.
It's great to be back.
Good. Did I see Dr. Bates' hand there?
Yeah.
And then back to Senator.
No, I was waving at Representative Boone.
Okay. I'm just trying to wrap or keep up with you. 403, this is homeless runaway youth.
Right. Madam Chair, Senator Bates. If we're ready to move on to package 403, then yes, investments in new initiatives. What I wanted to highlight was community schools and homeless and runaway youth, although they're titled new initiatives in the sense of the commission's budget, these are actually issues that the commission has been working on per legislative direction from the last couple of sessions. But this is new funding in the sense that this funding wasn't in their budget before. So there's community schools, you'll see $627,000 general fund, but also $500,000 other funds, which in effect is general fund that is coming from Department of Education. So it's general fund from Department of Education to this budget.
Well, continue on, and then Representative Nathanson.
Homeless and runaway.
I thought you had a question.
Yeah, I do, but I thought you were talking to her.
No, you.
This is something that we're probably going to have a longer discussion on later on, but there's been a suggested budget that's about twice as much before. These are primarily kids who are aged out of the foster care programs, about half a model or more than that. It's been something we've discussed here for the last 6, 7, 8, 9 years. We are particularly concerned, some of us, about these youth and what's happening to them, where they're ending up. You get dropped out of the foster care system when you turn 17 or 18 or 16 and just out there. And I'd like to have this looked at very carefully before we move off it. And I assume today is not the day we'll have a full discussion, but it could be earmarked later on, I hope, for further discussion. Thank you.
Yes, Madam Chair, Senator Bates, yes. When the agency does their budget presentation, then we'll have discussion on the various policy packages and, of course, the co-chair's recommendations relative to this.
Okay. And I'd like for the director to go by and see Senator Bates before this budget comes up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On package 403, I noticed that the governor's recommended budget overall is a 35% increase over the essential budget level. The co-chair's budget is a 15% increase over the essential budget level. So when I am trying to understand about the investments in new initiatives, there are things that happen around the state to address the needs of homeless and runaway youth. There are things that happen that are like community schools. Is there funding for community schools and homeless and runaway youth in other areas of the budget that is not contained in this particular budget?
Madam Chair, Representative Nathanson, I think what I would suggest is that when there is a discussion of this, when the agency comes to discuss their budget, they can talk about how they've coordinated with other agencies and what resources other agencies may be putting into that. The short answer is that in these areas, the commission has been the lead agency in working with other agencies. And although there may be some other pots of funding, I believe that, well, I don't really want to be interpreting the governor's intent, but clearly there is this $500,000 in Department of Education that is coming to the commission because the intention was to highlight the commission's role and have them as the major source of funding for that, which is not to say there's not activities in other agencies that apply to this. But I think we can have a further discussion when the agency comes to the table.
Okay, then a quick follow-up comment. Yes. What concerns me is, again, these two areas, community schools and homeless and runaway youth, like many other things we talk about, I don't know how I feel about the co-chair's budget for this particular piece unless I know whether money for these kinds of programs in other agencies were also getting cut or increased, because I'd want to know the total amount we're spending on these items. I don't know whether, to put it in simple words, I don't know whether I need to try to protect the money here or make sure it's being protected somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Ms. Baker.
Okay. The other piece of package 403 was just a position realignment piece relating to the community schools position and the juvenile crime prevention that got handled in that package. Package 404 is regarding the commission's operations. There are some position reclassifications there for administrative positions. And then there is a fund shift of the court-appointed special advocate position because of some other funds no longer being available. So that those are the elements of the governor's budget then, and you can see the totals there.
Speaker, may I ask one question just before you leave the governor's budget? Can you talk to us about the $23.3 million in other funds? Where does that come from, just very generally?
Madam Chair, Representative Morgan, the $23 million in other funds is primarily federal funds that comes to the agency through the Department of Human Services. The major elements of that are the Social Services Block Grant, which is a pretty flexible federal funding stream. There are also some child care and development funds that come through Employment Department to this agency. And there are, I believe, about $4 to $5 million of Medicaid funds that come into, related to the Healthy Start program, that come into the commission again as other funds. Okay, so now to list the co-chair's budget adjustments to the governor's budget, I've tried to match them up with the packages above there. Package 401, the co-chair's budget would not fund the increased local basic capacity, so the grants to the local commissions. Package 401, it would not fund the staff person, additional staff person for technical assistance. It would reduce the services and supplies funding for the data system and only fund $300,000 for a contract for those system improvements. It would fund half of the governor's increase to the Healthy Start program. So the $6 million in the governor's budget is reduced to $3 million here. The relief nurseries funding, instead of being $2.5 million as in the governor's budget, is a total of $550,000, and that would be split two ways, $450,000 to be split between the nine existing sites, so there would be no additional funding for new relief nurseries, and then a one-time $100,000 evaluation piece to attempt to set up some consistent evaluation methodology and process that could be done on an ongoing basis. But this would pay for the money to set up such an evaluation for the relief nursery program. And then none of Package 403 would be funded. And Package 404, although the reclassifications could happen, the agency would need to find that funding somewhere else, shift it from somewhere else in the budget. So you can see there the co-chair's total adjustment is a $9.8 million general fund reduction from the governor's budget. But as Representative Nathanson pointed out earlier, the bottom line is about a 15% increase from where they are currently. Questions?
Ms. Speaker, in the co-chair's budget adjustments, the $457,000 of other funds that is lost, is that some kind of federal fund match that's not available if the programs aren't funded?
Madam Chair, Representative Morgan, for the most part, that reflects, if you look back in the governor's budget, Package 403, community schools, $500,000 other funds, that's the general fund that would be coming from Department of Education as other funds to this budget. So, in effect, $500,000 of that amount is a general fund savings. And then the other part is just related to that community schools position as well. So in effect, it's confusing in this budget, but most of that is a general fund savings in the Department of Education budget.
Thank you. Madam Chair.
I say to Gordley.
Thank you very much. Recognizing what staff said earlier about the need to have individual conversations with the co-chairs, and I understand that and respect that. With that said, though, can you speak to the assumptions that that are behind the cuts as we see them? What was the approach?
Madam Chair, Senator Gormley, some of the operating principles with regard to this budget particularly, I believe, were focus on programs that are currently in place, don't start new initiatives, minimize central administrative staffing and positions. And I think areas where that shows is, you know, in terms of the new initiatives, no funding for that, as well as relief nurseries, enhance the 9 existing sites, don't add new relief nurseries, phase in increases. If you look at the commission's budget over the last several biennium, you would see from 2001-03, the high water mark, as I like to call it, as it came out of the 01-03 session before the special sessions and the reductions, the commission had a much higher general fund budget. The Healthy Start program, for example, was funded much more fully than it is even in this budget. And one of the things that I know the co-chairs discussed was in trying to build back some programs, recognizing that we couldn't necessarily do it all at one fell swoop, but to phase in buying back those programs over the next several biennium in a more sustainable manner.
Mm-hmm. A follow-up. I'm not aware, Madam Chair, of any other initiative focused on homeless and runaway youth in any other state agency. One agency that comes immediately to mind is the Department of Education. Do you know if that conversation took place, if there was any thought given to the impact of not putting this initiative in place?
Madam Chair, Senator Gormley,
impact on that population.
I can't speak directly to who the co-chairs may have discussed these particular issues with. I do know that around the issue generally that the commission works with, Department of Ed as one of the Partners for Children and Families work group, and it is an ongoing discussion there. But as far as who the co-chairs may have talked to or the discussion pertinent to that, I don't know.
Before, Representative Cortez.
It's okay.
I pass. You okay?
Yeah.
But before that, Colleen, let me just remind you that with the legislature having a constitutional responsibility to balance the budget, and the revenue that had been projected in the governor's budget was not a consideration at all. So this budget did not entertain the notion of the $829 million revenue-raising items that the governor had in his budget. So with that in mind, that's one of the basic assumptions that was met, and that is that we will deal with money that is actually in the coffers of the legislature. And I think the only one area that there was an anticipation it would be maybe in the tobacco dollars, but not even that to a great extent. So I just wanted to just kind of remind us of that piece. Ms. Baker.
Madam Chair, if there are no other questions, I think that lays on the table what the Commission on Children and Budget, Commission on Children and Families budget looks like under the co-chair's budget, and I think we can move on to Department of Human Services.
Before we leave the Commission on Families, are there further questions?
Thank you very much. The next pieces of material then are this packet that's stapled. We did put a summary page on the front, Department of Human Services, Department totals. These numbers include the capital improvement and capital construction funding. We didn't put detail on behind this because the co-chair's budget doesn't change the governor's budget, and we wanted to focus on the four major program areas. So that's just a roll-up of the department-wide numbers so you can see those in comparison. Then the second page in the packet is the children, adults, and families budget summary. We have had the benefit of walking through their budget as they made their agency presentation, so I will go hopefully even more quickly through these than I did the Commission on Children and Families. But again, you can see the legislatively approved budget for children, adults, and families after the December emergency board actions, the essential budget level, and in this case, there is a significant increase. You can see general fund increases from $442 million to $512 million. For the most part, that's related to mandated caseload increases, so foster care, temporary assistance to needy families, food stamp administration, although the food stamp benefits themselves are the non-limited federal funds in this budget. Then we get into the policy packages. The roll-up for the 07-09 biennium of the December emergency board actions are shown in package 084. In this case, it's a $3 million general fund reduction overall, primarily because of caseloads being a little lower than had been anticipated at the time that the budget was put together. Package 090, these are the recommended adjustments that you heard about during the agency's presentation. So foster care savings of $3 million general fund, a reduction in the special payments in the vocational rehabilitation services, and then overall the department took a $1 million general fund central administration reduction, and about less than 600,000 of it is in this particular program budget.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Representative Cortez.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On package 90 there around the substitute care special rate, that's a $7.7 million total fund reduction. Is that money being plowed back into that particular area? Do you have a sense of when we make that kind of deduction, we're trying to, from the presentations, it was about savings and efficiency. Is that money staying within the system? Do you have a good sense of that? Or,
Madam Chair, Representative Kotek, I really can't say that $3 million then is paying for something else over here in the substitute care budget. I will say the substitute care budget overall is higher than it was last biennium, but it's impossible really to trace the dollars from one place to another, particularly what the governor may have done with that budget. I will note that the reason that it's a $7-8 million total funds is that this is matched with federal foster care and adoption assistance, federal 4E money. So it's not money that would, it's not federal funds that would otherwise be available if we don't spend the general fund.
Thank you.
Okay, package 101 are the various pieces of the large Department of Human Service package related to children's health and safety. The child care improvements, we talked about those. If you remember, there's three elements. Changing the income eligibility back up to 185% of federal poverty level. Change in the co-payment structure to reduce the amount of co-payments that people getting the subsidy pay, and then the bulk of it, about $30 million of that, or $26 million of that, was related to improved rates for providers. So those were the three elements of that package, and when we get to the co-chair's budget, I'll talk a little bit about what they do to that. Student daycare transfer. This is about a $1 million program that gets transferred mid-biennium to the Student Assistance Commission in the governor's budget. Child welfare safety improvements, those are the staffing changes that the agency talked about. Legal representation is the payment to Department of Justice to improve legal representation for caseworkers. The TANF reauthorization.
Mr. Speaker, how many lawyers did we buy back with this?
Madam Chair, I think it's about 10 in Department of Justice and some support staff as well. I'd have to double check the numbers. But.
Senator Bates, then Senator Weston.
Let me ask that question a little bit differently, if you allow me to. With this amount of money going back into the budget, do we get ourselves in a position where we no longer have caseworkers representing children in court, or do we still have cases where children are represented in court by social workers? And my concern, Madam Chair, is I think we're facing a class action lawsuit on this. This is patently illegal. Shouldn't be going on. So can you give me a number on that?
Madam Chair, Senator Bates, I would have to ask the agency that question.
Who can answer that question?
Yeah, my sense of this package was that it purchased some additional review, but there were cases where caseworkers would still need to be coming into court because there wasn't representation in court. This did not buy full representation for caseworkers in court.
Thank you for your answer.
That's something I'd like the department to get back with us on in terms of that particular issue. Does the amount that is reflected in this budget
under 101-3,
thank you. Does that keep social workers out of the whole issue of representation of some people shaking their heads right now? Okay.
Well, Madam Chair, I can give you a one-word answer. I can give you a two-word answer.
Okay.
And I mean, if you just flip over, you look at the co-chair's adjustments to 101.3, and they cut half of that. $3 million out of that. The $3 million didn't buy complete representation to begin with. So.
Got it. Thank you. No, it doesn't. It's just an answer to that.
Okay.
101, Chair. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Nathan.
Thank you. I just wanted to add something quickly on that. In the Subcommittee on Public Safety, we had a presentation from the other side of this, from the lawyer's side of this, the department that would be providing legal advice. And I think it would be helpful if we could also see what their presentation said about this point, about providing the, Representative Shields may want to add, about providing guidance and review, but not necessarily in court representation, but at least at that point, from their side of a presentation, it was for being able to provide review for 100%. But that doesn't mean representation in court. It just means review.
Wow.
Madam Chair.
Senator Gordon.
Thank you. This is an issue that we've been looking at for at least two sessions. Go back to my service as chair of the Public Ways and Means Public Safety Committee last session, and I want to be associated with the comments made by Doc Bates, Senator Bates, where he's registering concern. I want to register extremely strong concern that we open ourselves up to a class action suit, but that this is not a cut that we can allow to stand. This goes to the issue of access to justice, and it goes to the quality of representation that we make available to folks who are caught up in these legal situations. This we better be paying close attention to this, because if we make a mistake on this one, we'll be paying money. We will be paying for it, but we'll just be paying for it in a different way down the road.
Thank you. Ms. Reed.
Okay, Madam Chair, members of the committee, 101-4 TANF reauthorization in the government's budget, together with 101-9 self-sufficiency client service needs and 101-17 client-based services inflationary increase, are basically the funding for the restructured temporary assistance to needy families program as it was priced in the governor's budget.
Question, Madam Chair?
Question?
For 101-4 and 101-6, can you just briefly give us what the origin of the other funds are in those two budgets?
Madam Chair, 101-4, the $5.8 million there was anticipated to be child care and development funds. There was an increase in federal law in the amount going to that fund. These are monies that Department of Human Services gets from Employment Department for the employment-related daycare program.
Good.
And moving to 101.6, the Healthy Kids Plan, this is associated with the tobacco tax increase proposed in the governor's budget. The piece in Children, Adults, and Families budget relates to eligibility determination. So the other funds would be the tobacco tax, federal funds would be matching funds related to that.
What, I'm sorry, could you say what the federal funds are again?
It's matching Medicaid funds.
Okay. Thank you.
Then 10118 relative caregiver reimbursement, that was discussed during the agency's presentation, as well as the safe, timely placement of foster children package. Moving down to package 102, this was a rate increase for behavioral rehabilitation services providers, and I'll talk about that more in a minute when we get to the co-chair's budget adjustments. Package 103 was the impact in the children, adults, and families budget. The first element is an extension of the current provider taxes, again related to eligibility staffing being continued with that funding source. And then the second element in package 103 was the governor's proposed expansion of the standard program, including expanding provider taxes, and there is some tobacco tax. That's in that budget as well. Package 106, I won't dwell on this at length. It's basically efficiency improvements, some savings in the CAF budget from what is happening in department-wide support services in OPAR, the Office of Payment and Accuracy Recovery, and then some other initiatives to collect funds or make sure that funds don't go out in error to client benefits. So on top of the next page, you can see the governor's total recommended budget.
And did Morgan? You flew past me there, Sheila. Can you go back to package 106 and 10655? What's OPAR?
OPAR is the Office of Payment Accuracy and Recovery. And that's in department-wide support services, but because of enhancements in the staffing in that unit, there is anticipated to be some general fund savings in the children, adults, and families budget. And that's why you see in the governor's budget a general fund reduction there and in other funds, which is from enhanced collections and other funds increase.
Thank you very much.
So the co-chair's adjustments then, on the second page of CAF summary, you can see 101-1, the co-chairs would fund half of the governor's rate increase for child care providers. So it would fund the increased income limit eligibility. It would fund the improvements in the co-payment structure for clients. It would fund half of the child care rate increase. Again, I believe along the theory of we will phase in the improvements in this area over time.
Madam Chair.
Representative Potter.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do we have, I think with the clarification on that, so this is just in the increase in the reimbursement rate, this reduction. Do we have any other cost analysis to say if we did 50% the first year of the biennium, 65%, any kind of other phase-in suggestions that we could be advocating for, numbers that you could share with us? Because this is a straight 50% reimbursement rate for the entire biennium, I assume.
Madam Chair, Representative Protek, yes. Although I believe the rate increase actually took effect October. It may have been July. But it is, yes, just a straight half of what was in the governor's budget for that. And there are all sorts of iterations and different phase and schedules that you could price out. We haven't done those, but certainly you could do those.
Would that be something we request from you or directly from the department? How would you like us to go about asking for that?
Madam Chair, Representative Kotek, either or.
Okay.
If you want to ask me, and then I would work with the department to get the numbers.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Matheson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When we heard our presentation some weeks ago, I had asked some questions about what all made up that $34.9 million and how much of it could be attributed to each of those components. And if I wrote my notes correctly, if I didn't totally misunderstand, which is certainly possible, I have the number for how much it costs to lower the average copay by 20%, and to increase the maximum income limit to 185% of federal poverty level. It looked like there was also something around $3 or $4 million for staffing changes. I didn't know what that was about.
Madam Chair, Representative Nathanson, with increasing the eligibility, the income limit for eligibility, there is an expectation that there would be, because more persons eligible, that you would need to make determinations of eligibility, so you would have more people applying. And so there is 13 positions that are phased in during the biennium that were associated with the governor's budget package.
Thank you. Senator
Westman? Representative Nathanson reminds me, you know, for us all to think back to some of the testimony during our public hearings, particularly on this budget, and if there was one single factor, and there are, of course, many, but if there was one single factor that allows people through their own will and determination and skill to help pull themselves out of poverty, it is having a place to put, these are mostly single moms, but not always, there's having a place to put their children in a safe, secure environment while they are out seeking gainful employment. If there is one thing.
That's true.
So I don't even know why I say that. It's just I look at this and I just, I mean, we want to talk about evidence-based, and we want to talk about providing public policy that helps Oregonians do what they want to do and we want to help them do. I just have to register some discontent with this particular line item.
And I would just like to cap that off with my agreement and say that this, I'm noticing a lot of, and I understand it was a tough job, but a lot of cuts in primary prevention programs that, just as Senator Westman has pointed out, lead us to an endpoint where we want to be. Don't judge my English on this. It's okay. Lost a few brain cells, I think. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that I think the governor's budget was looking at the long view, which when you get people to a point where they are in DHS's mission statement, independent, and they're self-supporting, self-sufficient, they move on and bring their children with them. And we have to do everything we can do to set them up, to free them to do this, to get there. It's just like kids can't learn if they're hungry or unsafe or whatever. It's just kind of this, set them up so they can do it, what they want to do to make everything better in their life. And if we cut it off, they're still going to have to deal with it, and it's going to make them not be successful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to follow up on the colleague's comments, not only are we going to provide greater stability for the children in these settings because the providers will be more stable if the reimbursement rates go up, but we're generating economic activity with that. So I'm going to look into what number we'd actually generate, because if we invest those dollars in that system, those are folks who are going to be spending those dollars in their community as well as supporting quality child care. So I agree. I think that's a real problematic reduction in the governor's budget.
Ms. Baker?
Okay. Moving on to the next one, 101-3. We already talked about the sum. This would fund half of the DRB legal representation package, and that package was already phased in during the biennium, so this would set that back even further in terms of timing. The next item is an addition to this budget. The governor's budget had packages on rate increases for providers of behavioral rehabilitation services, which are residential treatment services that meet certain federal standards, had packages in both this budget and the Oregon Youth Authority budget. The discussion was that there was an intention to get those providers to parity because they in some instances, providers are serving both DHS and OIA clients. So although that was a discussion, it didn't actually happen in the governor's budget. What happened in the governor's budget was additional funding in the Oregon Youth Authority, which would have put their rates about 18% to 25% higher than the rates that DHS was paying for the same services. So what the co-chairs did in the Oregon Youth Authority budget was reduce that package and then split the balance between the Youth Authority and Department of Human Services in an attempt to get closer to parity. So this, if this holds, the numbers may shift a little bit as the program people are actually looking at what the rates need to be to get to parity. But the intention here is to add money to DHS, reduce OIA's budget as proposed by the governor to get to rate parity between those two populations.
Representative Wilson, just to clarify.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to comment that we were hearing about this also in the Public Safety Subcommittee, and this is another one where it might be interesting to also compare that one page from that agency's presentation when we go over this in more detail, because I'm seeing that it would be helpful and important for us to see what both sides are saying at the time that we're making the decision. Thank you.
Representative
Morgan? Just to clarify, Ms. Baker, does this addition to the budget actually bring the behavioral rehabilitation service rates into line with OIA? Do we have parity, or are we still sure?
Representative Morgan, the intention is to bring them into parity, so this number may shift a little bit once the technical rate people take a look at it, but that was the estimate was that this amount here and the reduction in OIA would bring those two into alignment. Now, I think we heard from both in the Public Safety Subcommittee and the Human Services Subcommittee from providers, you know, from their perspective, parity may not be as important as what the rate actually is, mm-hmm. but the intention was that at least there would be an increase in both budgets for these providers and that those increases would bring them to parity.
But philosophically, the thing that has happened is that OIA kids are considered special kids with special needs, whereas the general welfare kids are not. And so therefore there's always been that difference in terms of rates of pay to OIA versus just a generalized kid that is in the Children's Services Division. So when you see parity, you're going to really hear something, because these kids require more in OIA than those in the regular mm-hmm. program. And that's why we have not had parity in that area. So OIA will still be getting more than the general welfare kid or Children's Services kid because of the special needs that they have. Ms. Baker.
Okay, then the last adjustment that's shown here is a reflection of what happens in this budget with the co-chair's reduction relative to the governor's proposed expansion of the OHP standard program, and John will talk about that as part of the health services budget. So, again, this is the eligibility piece that comes out if that program is not expanded.
Madam Chair and members, I'd like to continue now with the next page, the health services program area within DHS. This consists, as you know, of three divisions: the Division of Medical Assistance Programs, which we worked on last week, Addiction and Mental Health Division, and Public Health Division. So a number of these packages should be familiar to you at this point that are in the governor's recommended budget. You can see that the essential budget level in terms of general fund, $1.6 billion, up from $1.2 billion in general fund. Much of this is related to caseload, also inflation, medical inflation for the Oregon Health Plan, and finally fund shifts. Package 084, as Sheila indicated, relates to roll-up from the December 2006 Emergency Board, about $2.9 million general fund. And then we get into a series of package 90 adjustments, managing prescription drug costs, savings from federal changes to average manufacturer program.
John, could you explain why DME payments have been reduced to 80% of Medicare?
Madam Chair and Representative Garrard, yes, we touched on this a little bit last week, and this is a reduction to durable medical equipment payments down to 80% of Medicare costs. When the Mercer cost benchmark book came out, and it was fairly recently, and then it was again 2 years ago that we started actually looking at costs related to these different providers. Durable medical equipment and I believe pharmaceuticals were significantly above the other providers in terms of their fee-for-service reimbursement. So this was a reduction taken to durable medical equipment to get it down closer to where other providers are in the governor's budget, down to 80% of their Medicare costs.
John, won't that result in higher expenditures somewhere else down the line?
Madam Chair and Representative Garrard, it may not necessarily do that, but it may restrict access somewhat to those two sets of providers. Reimbursement generally, as you know, is related to access, and this was presumably deemed by the department not to affect access in a significant way.
Mr. Whitten, give us an example of restrictive access.
Well, Madam Chair and members, when the reimbursement rate for a given provider is so low that you have a number of providers who just simply won't take Medicaid clients, that clearly restricts their access to the providers that are in their particular community.
Thank you.
I'm going to continue down through this list. I know that Representative Kotek had a question on the next one, which was to reduce the DRG component within the managed care, the capitation rate, from 100% down to 90%. That represents a savings of about $21.5 million general fund. The question she had was there a policy consideration in this, or was it just simply an effort to get more general fund to be used elsewhere? I can't answer that question with respect to the governor's budget, but clearly this is a lot of general fund. Today, that rate is about 72%. So this would have taken it up from 72 up to 90%. You'll see in a moment that the co-chairs reduced that level within the capitation rate down to 80%. Still an increase from 72, but not where the governor's budget is. The next line.
Excuse me, Mr. Benton, Senator.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. I assume that's for the FCHIPS as well as fee for service?
Madam Chair, and Senator Bates, it's exclusively for the FCHIPS. It is the component of the diagnostic related grouping hospital rate within the capitation payment. So it is not a fee for service adjustment.
Well, Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
So those patients who are in fee-for-service, how do they pay hospitals on the services they render to them?
Madam Chair and Senator Bates, they vary according to the hospital, but they are even lower in many instances. On backfilling the citizen alien waived emergency medical with tobacco tax, this is simply using new tobacco tax to backfill general fund, again to free up general fund so that it could be used elsewhere. It does nothing programmatically except change the funding sources. Family Planning Expansion Program, expansion using about $1.5 million of general fund. The federal funds expenditure limitation is not in here. It was inadvertently left out and would need to be corrected. But that is about a 9-to-1 federal funds match. Next line is adding lottery funds for gambling. There's a set amount, 1% of lottery funds goes towards gambling addiction treatment. This $2.9 million is in addition to the essential budget level of 9.1. I'm going to skip down a couple.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to clarify, the amount that's in both the governor's budget and the co-chairs for gambling is the 1%? Because we haven't funded it for 1%.
Madam Chair and Representative Kotek, it is not quite the 1%. There is a balance in this particular gambling addiction treatment fund. And my recollection is that it's about a $2 million, give or take, beginning balance, and a little bit higher during the at the end of the 07-09 biennium. So the point being that although the 1% would be allocated to the fund, it wouldn't necessarily all be allocated to be spent.
Thank you.
$52,000 of administrative efficiencies. This was about, I believe, $2 million across the department in administrative efficiencies. This is the share that is within health services. The next line is to eliminate general fund in the juvenile diabetes database and replace it with tobacco tax, again, new tobacco tax. And finally, the final 090 is a phase out of women's, infants, and children's farmers market funding of about $49,000 that had been included last time in Senate Bill 289. Now you'll see right down below that the total package of 101, an addition of $100,000 to the women's, infants, children's farmers market enhancement. You can see package 101-6, Healthy Kids. This is all tobacco tax, the $54.2 million. And it's located in both the Medicaid portion of this budget as well as the CHIP portion of this budget.
Is this, Mr. Britton, new tobacco tax revenue?
Madam Chair and Representative Morgan, it is. Package 10114, Citizen Alien Wave.
Question, Senator Bates?
Madam Chair, I think is this a point of clarification? This is tobacco funds for 101-06?
Madam Chair, Senator Bates, it is, yes.
And the match to that from the federal funds is the $47 million?
Yes, and it is both CHIP match and Medicaid match.
Why is it, my follow-up, Madam Chair,
right.
Why is that match low?
The match is low, Senator Bates, because there is a fair amount in the governor's budget of tobacco tax that is not matched.
Senator Bates?
Is that because of the federal poverty level we're talking about here?
Madam Chair and Senator Bates, no. It's because that in the governor's budget there was assumed a fair number of children who were not documented, so they do not qualify for federal funds. Package 101-14 is the addition of a prenatal benefit to the Citizen Alien Waived Emergency Medical. This 4.5 is not new tobacco tax. It is a pledge of other funds from Multnomah County and related federal funding match. 10111, school-based health clinics, $2 million. This is new tobacco tax, as is the item below that, Healthy Kids Survey, $689,831, new tobacco tax. Package 101-7, improved addictions treatment. This is $10.4 million of Oregon liquor control revenue. Now, the total DHS budget, and you'll see more of it down here, is about $17 million from the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, and about 3.6 of it is transferred to the Criminal Justice Commission for the use in drug courts in the governor's recommended budget. Moving on to package 10224, this is an effort within the Division of Medical Assistance Programs to use new tobacco tax to increase fee-for-service reimbursement, I believe up to about 75%, not for all providers, but most notably physicians within the fee-for-service system. Package 10339, equitable alcohol and drug treatment funding. This is about $4 million of general fund. And this relates to a question that Representative Garrard had some time ago of Bob Nickel, whereby some counties that have been growing quite rapidly, their per capita funding has gone down. And the question was how to equalize or better equalize per capita funding for alcohol and drug treatment. And the solution, rather than take from the rich and give to the poor, was to add more funding to bring everybody at least up to a particular level. And this is what that $4 million is for. 10333, emergency medical systems. We heard a good bit of testimony on this particular issue during the public health budget presentation. This would add $228,000 general fund, $1.7 million of new tobacco tax to improve regulation in that particular area. 10331, extend the provider taxes, it should be, both the hospital tax and the managed care organization taxes, sunset during the 07-09 biennium. They are used, as you know, to support the Oregon Health Plan Standard Program. This would is a proposal to extend those taxes through the end of the 07-09 biennium.
Madam Chair.
Senator, please.
Madam Chair, John, can you tell me what breaks out, maybe you should do this later, break out what's hospital, what's managed care, on the managed care side, what's a probable or possible federal regulations concerning when those might be phased in or maintained, and what the hospital tax is at now, and what is a possible proposal for increasing that tax if it was accepted by the hospitals? Can you give us a little more information there?
Madam Chair and Senator Bates, I will do that. I can't do it right now, but
I wouldn't expect you to.
Sure.
Thanks, John.
I would note that this amount for the managed care organization is based on about a 6% tax, and the federal government has lowered that to 5.5%. So it wouldn't be quite as much as is here. That's a loss of a modest amount, but it is still a loss of other funds. 10332 should actually read, this was the addition of mental health drugs onto the preferred drug list, and to use a prior authorization for drugs that are not on the preferred drug list. About $3 million of general fund savings here. Finally, in package 10336.
Senator Winters? Are there any, thank you, Madam Chair, are there any exceptions in the prior authorization list? These are all the psychotropic.
Madam Chair and Senator Winters, this is what is in the governor's budget. So yes, it would include all mental health drugs that would be on the preferred drug list at this point.
With no exceptions?
No, not that I'm aware of.
That's true, Senator. No exceptions.
Package 10336 is a proposal to expand OHP standard. The $50.4 million is both tobacco tax, about $44 million, give or take. The remaining part is additional provider tax that would come in through the expansion and the increase of revenue for both hospitals and managed care organizations. But the bulk of this $50.4 is new tobacco tax, again, about $44 million.
Representative Morgan. Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Britton, the $50 million, part of it is the tobacco tax, $44 million. The balance being an enhancement to the provider tax, or is it just that there's more coming in there than...
Madam Chair and Representative Morgan, when the revenue is increased, and it would be increased because of the tobacco tax along with federal match, that would generate more provider tax, which in turn could be matched.
Okay, thank you.
So it is both. The difference in the 50.4 and the roughly $44 million would be additional provider tax money that would be raised through the increase in revenue.
Thank you.
Further questions? Mr. Britton, thanks.
Package 104, all of these have to do with the mental health system. The first two lines, the state hospital master plan, $9.9 million of general funds. 104.44 is related to the Harmon settlement that the state agreed to during the 05-07 biennium, and it relates to increasing staffing at the Oregon State Hospital as well as to develop more community-based placements. 104.45 is early assessment and support teams. This is new tobacco tax. And finally, 104.46, state hospital data system. This is certificates of participation money to support the development or the work that's involved in the to develop the new state hospital.
Madam Chair.
Senator Bates.
Thank you, Madam Chair. John, going back to the Harmon settlement real quickly, I've kind of lost my columns here. Community-based plans commonly achieve some level of federal match?
Madam Chair and Senator Bates, yes, they do.
And is this a $11 million general fund and $4 million federal funds? Am I in the right column there?
Yes. I'm sorry.
Okay. Is there some reason the match is lower than I would normally expect? Is there some that do not qualify for a federal match?
Well, Madam Chair and Senator Bates, I'd have to look at the funding mix in here, but my guess is that a good bit of this is used for staffing, because I can see over on the side 128 additional positions. Those are probably within the state hospital. I'm not positive that, and we can verify that.
Gotcha.
But that would not be matched.
That would make sense. Thank you.
Package 10547, safe drinking water, $2.5 million general fund. Support local health departments. We heard about this when Public Health testified and presented their budget, $4.9 million general fund. The restoration of the tobacco prevention and education program, 10549, $7.6 million. This is actually old tobacco tax that had been used within the Division of Medical Assistance Programs, and it was moved over to the back to public health and in program support. So the governor's budget uses all the statutory mandated tobacco tax that exists today, that conforms to statute, and that's about $16.3 million given the current revenue forecast. And this is for the tobacco prevention and education program. radiation protection services, healthcare licensure, and Senate Bill 333 fee increase within public health are listed there and comprise the rest of Package 105.
So, again, just for clarification, Jane Morgan, in Package 10547, is the other funds also a fee increase there?
Madam Chair and Representative Morgan, I'm going to check on that, but I believe that it is. I believe that it's been about a month or so since we heard all of this. And I don't remember, but I will check on that for you.
Okay, and then for Package 50, 51, and 53, those are fee increases, all three of them?
Yeah. I want to be sure of that, Representative Morgan, and make sure. I know that the limitation for Senate Bill 333 is in 10553, and those were, of course, fees that were raised during 0507. But I want to make sure and answer you correctly when I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Gooden, please tell us radiation protection services. What's that?
It is the licensure and the inspection of machines that relate to X-ray machines, I believe. And I know there was also a bill that related to tanning machines also.
Thank you.
Package 10661, Medicare Modernization Act Compliance and Self-Sufficiency. And then 10662, Sheila mentioned a moment ago in the CAF budget that there was some additional money or funding used to add more folks to the eligibility work that's done within CAF. These are savings related to doing better eligibility work, I believe. The $3.8 million general fund. And finally, the Office of Payment and Recovery Infrastructure. Again, these are recoveries, about $803,000 used to backfill general fund. Package 107, Youth Substance Abuse, $3 million. This is Oregon Liquor Control Commission. This is part of the $17 million I mentioned a moment ago. Package 108, I've labeled it uncompensated care for hospitals. It's about $5 million of new tobacco tax. And this was designed to, again, kind of like Package 102, I believe, to raise or equalize some of the lower fee-for-service reimbursement for some of the hospitals. Package 110 is an enhancement to the tobacco prevention and education programs, about $17.8 million in this budget, and this is new tobacco tax. And finally, I've noted here there is no limitation related to this, but Package 111 is a pass-through of $3.6 million from the Oregon Liquor Control Commission to DHS to the Criminal Justice Commission. This is another part of that $17 million.
Clarification. Mr. Britton, back to Package 107, Youth Substance Abuse. What's the source of that $3 million of other funds?
That's Oregon Liquor Control Commission, Madam Chair and Representative Morgan. It's part of the 17 transfer from OLCC.
Thank you. Madam Chair,
Representative.
Thank you. And just clarifying, on the $17 million, that's money, new revenue, theoretically, from increased liquor sales that the governor was dedicated to these specific programs. Is that correct?
Madam Chair and Representative Kotek, it is. And it would require the passage of Senate Bill 184.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Before we leave this section entirely, I just wanted to ask, with regard to the state hospital data system, I hope the department is still planning to provide some information for me on what the cost of that data system is over time, because really, if I'm understanding right, this is just borrowing money. We're going to keep paying and paying, I don't know exactly how long, for it. And I had asked what would it cost if we bought it now versus if we pay and pay debt over how many years?
I'm sure that someone is listening, and that the next time Dr. Goldberg comes before the committee, he can report on that, or whatever the, if the department is, the department head for this. We'd expect to hear about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Madam Chair, I'm going to continue now with the back page of the health services and go through the co-chair's budget adjustments. Let me say this as a general statement, that what the co-chairs did with respect to new tobacco tax was only use it to fund two things, and that was the Healthy Kids Plan, both in CHIP and Medicaid, and also the tobacco prevention and education programs. Outside of that, if it was used to backfill general fund or used for school-based health clinics or the early assessment and support teams, it is out of the co-chair's budget, and you'll see that as we go down here. There are a lot of negative numbers in that other funds column. The reason that they did that was they were concerned about the roll-up of the Healthy Kids Plan into 09-11. So they wanted to make sure that that tobacco tax would build up enough, or save tobacco tax, so that it could be used to fully fund Healthy Kids in the 09-11 biennium. That was the rationale. Cut mental health equitable A&D funding, $103.39, $4 million. You can see a cut to local public health support, $4.9 million general fund. Remove tobacco tax from the emergency medical systems, the $1.7. They left the general fund in, which was about $228,000. Reduce the DRG rate to 80%. Remember, it had been 90% in the governor's budget. This is on down to 80%. It is today 72%. Reverse the backfill of the citizen alien waived emergency medical with tobacco tax, and instead fund it with general fund. Remove the tobacco tax. Likewise, add $100,000 general fund in lieu of tobacco tax for the diabetes, the juvenile diabetes database. No standard expansion, 103.36. No fee-for-service increase using tobacco tax in 102.24. No OLCC funding, 102.07. No early assessment support team funding using tobacco tax in 104.45. That's the $4.3 million. No OLCC funding in 107 using tobacco tax, but the co-chairs did use some general fund, about $1.9 million, to implement a couple of programs within that youth substance abuse treatment. One had to do with, I believe, a suicide hotline, and the other had to do with some community education programs that have proven to be successful throughout the country. School-based health clinics, 101.11. They removed the use of tobacco tax for that package, but did fund it with general fund instead. They reduced the tobacco prevention and education program enhancement by 11.8. So this is out of the nearly $18 million, a reduction of 11.8. No dental sealant, 101-6, $300,000 tobacco tax. No Healthy Kids Teen Survey, again, tobacco tax. Noel OLCC Policy Option Package 107. No Policy Option Package 108. This was to raise hospital compensation, and this was also tobacco tax. They did add $2.5 million general fund to this budget, $1 million for healthcare task force, and $1.5 million for the family planning expansion program. Although this particular piece would not get additional federal funds of the 9-to-1 match. Overall, the co-chairs reduced the governor's budget here by about $1.8 million. General fund, more significantly, by about $114.8 million other funds, most of which was tobacco tax, new tobacco tax, and Oregon Liquor Control Commission revenue.
Clarification, Madam Chair.
Clarification. In the other funds column, all those reductions there, are all of those new tobacco tax?
Madam Chair and Representative Morgan, they are not. For example, the no standard expansion, remember that that contained both new tobacco tax, about $44 million or so, and the remaining part of that is provider tax.
Okay, so we can just refer back to the other list and find out what they are. Why is the $698 in other funds and the $3.66 in federal funds got a bar over them?
For my benefit. And part of that is because I'm not certain that all of the $698,000 is new tobacco tax. I need to check that. Likewise, the 3661594 federal funds may not all need to come out. There was a very small, maybe $200,000 of that, of the $2.2 million that was not necessarily tobacco tax either. So it may not all go out, but I need to check that. It's a small adjustment.
Thank you.
Okay. Madam Chair, at this point, we can continue or we can stop. We still have seniors to go. We're going to be hearing that budget.
Can I ask a question?
We're going to be hearing the seniors and people with disabilities budget later. We haven't heard that yet, nor have we heard the department-wide support services budget yet. And then later this week, in fact, you'll be hearing more about the Office of Private Health Partnerships. So we can schedule this, we can continue this as you wish.
Just sort of one quick question on the healthcare task force. Is that matchable?
Madam Chair and Senator Winters, I'm not sure. I think if it had specifically to do with Medicaid, or there were portions of that healthcare task force that had to do with Medicaid, that part probably would be matchable. But general healthcare reform, if it did not have to do with Medicaid, it would be hard to get that kind of match on it.
It's your pleasure, Representative Nicholson.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to say thank you very much for scheduling this for us. This is extremely useful.
Thank you. But we have three other budgets. Okay, Representative Moore.
But I agree with Representative Nathanson. I think this really helps us kind of grasp the dynamic of the governor's budget and the co-chair budget. And my suggestion would be to finish this up before we go into a look at the other budgets.
I think, how can that happen? Because I'm hearing amen down on the right-hand side as well.
Madam Chair, you could, I believe, carry the informational hearing over until tomorrow if you wanted to do it tomorrow. That would, at the rate we're going, I would expect that would take most, if not all, of the hour and a half tomorrow. We had scheduled Office of Private Health Partnerships for their presentation tomorrow with public testimony the day following. But those could be moved as well.
Well, maybe Rocky could be here in the event that we don't use all the time. But going from zero to 10 makes a big difference, so I think we better schedule this. So tomorrow we will complete the other portions of this budget, and if there is time left, then Mr. King can follow through on his. So you will schedule both of them, Ms. Baker, in the event. Thank you very much.